This week, News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams creates a sense of place and offers a glimpse into Williams' family life in this vignette of her ponderings one lazy morning in one of her favorite places along the shores of the quirky yet beloved Caloosahatchee River.
I never had the good fortune to meet Ann Morrow Lindbergh, but I'm convinced, after some close readings of her work, that she was one of those whom Thomas Jefferson described in an 1813 letter to John Adams. "There is a natural aristocracy among men," he wrote. "The grounds of this are virtue and talents. The natural aristocracy I consider as the most precious gift of nature." Yes, she was an ambassador's daughter, a Smith College graduate, and a celebrity wife. But Ann Morrow Lindbergh was a mother whose firstborn was kidnapped and killed when he was 20 months old. I can't imagine that pedigree and privilege had anything to do with the grace with which she survived that catastrophe and lived the rest of her life. I think she was just one of those people forged of different stuff than commoners. That's why the animist in me isn't the least surprised that when she walked Captiva's shores, the Gulf presented her with some of its most exquisite gifts, a moon snail, a rare double sunrise clam, an ethereal paper nautilus shell. That's fine. There's no question she was eminently worthy of such treasure. Those of us in the lower orders, and I'm resigned to the fact that I'll always be a scuffed and scruffy prole, that no matter how much I scrub and brush, I'll always have paint on my wrist, hay in my hair, and mud on my boots, figuratively if not literally. Well, we content ourselves with humbler gifts. 2 beachfront weeks on Captiva may be out of reach, but there's plenty of public Caloosahatchee waterfront in downtown Fort Myers. So we settle for what the river feels like handing over, which on a recent morning was an old plastic toy rocket half buried in mud in about 2 feet of water. For my 12-year-old, it was every bit as inspiring a gift as a windswept whelk. Nash and I were wandering Riverside Community Park, one of the best urban places I've found to get up close to the river. For years, the Florida Eco-Illuminati have used a handful of alliterative verbs describing what's been done to our poor Caloosahatchee and its watershed: drained, dynamited, ditched, dredged, damaged. They're also fond of pointing out that it's technically not a river at all. Its federal name is C-43. And that C doesn't stand for Caloosahatchee, it stands for canal. Be all that as it may, we still love old C-43, and it seems to return our affection, offering up its own quirky lanyaps. The morning Nash and I were there, we surprised a school of silvery minnows, which spooked and flashed over the surface like rain. We saw the single dark track of some underwater creature meandering through the muck, leaving behind an inscrutable message in huge cursive loops. We saw bird tracks stippled across the wet sand, looking for all the world like designs incised on Zapotec pottery. I had no elegantly simple sisal bag from which to pull refreshments, but I did have a Ziploc full of semi-squashed strawberries to offer Nash. "No," he said, settling onto one of the metal benches along the path. "Come on, Mont, sit down. Let's look at the sky first." Stretching out his arms and leaning back, he surveyed the heavens, king of it all. I asked him what he saw up there. "Just big, big blue," he said, scooting a little closer, leaning his sun-scented head against my chest. "And this is the best morning, Mom."